Thanks be to God. Please sit down. Last Sunday we had a very good introduction to the fruit of the Spirit, and we were reminded about the basic one, love. In fact, there are some commentators who would say the fruit of the Spirit is love, out of which you have joy, etc., etc. We're not arguing on the point. The whole basis of joy comes from love. It's all one. There is only one fruit of the Spirit because there's only one Spirit. And so we look at this aspect, although we realize we're dealing with the whole ministry of the Spirit. First of all, please, we mustn't confuse joy with happiness. We do thank God for happiness. We do thank God that we do have that feeling. It's a joyful feeling of goodness within us and well-being. But that can come and go due to circumstances. You had a good breakfast. Or perhaps you didn't have a good one and you feel down, you know. Or it's raining on your day off or whatever. You know, these factors affect you whether you're happy or not. But what we're talking about is something deeper than that. Is that settled circumstance caused by God within us, unaffected by surroundings? Now, careful, please. Do not mean to say if we have joy, we never feel sad. I wish that were the case. But we have still within us, even through, we'll see this in a few moments, even through the ups and downs of life, we have that certain trust in God that gives us this well-being, not affected by circumstances. There are three things I want to look at just to help us to understand it a wee bit theoretically. First of all, that we see joy in the gospel, first of all, and then we see joy in life, and then thirdly, joy in hope. It's all right if you keep flapping, please, you might get some air up here as well. In the gospel, when Jesus' birth was announced to Mary, the angels came and said the same thing to Joseph as well. It's a message of joy. The very basis of the gospel is a message of joy. This wasn't added later on. It isn't that Paul suddenly decided, I better write something down extra and we'll put the word joy in. No, joy is essence of the gospel. Not only at his birth, but at his resurrection. The disciples were full of joy as well as some apprehension. That's a wonderful blending together. They were fearful, but they also had joy. No wonder. Joy at the resurrection. And also, we're told that as believers, we receive that joy as part of our gospel package. Part of being Christians is that we have joy. When we come to joy in our life, we have just to go slowly through this. We're told in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, if you want to put that reference down to look at it, it says there, the kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Spirit. That's our life, the kingdom of God. You're in the kingdom of God if you're a Christian. The kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Spirit. That's our Christian life. Again, in chapter 15 and verse 13 of Romans, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy as you trust in him. That's part of our life. But now the point where we need just to hold our breath a moment. That is true and wonderfully true, and we'll come back to that in a few moments. If we look on other scripture references, and I'm quite sure many among us here would say there is another side to the coin. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said these wonderful words, in spite of suffering, you welcome the message with joy. They were going through a time of persecution. They were going through a very difficult patch. Things weren't easy at all. They may not have had much happiness, I don't know. But I know this, that they received the message with joy in their life. Their life was marked by joy in spite of suffering. James goes a bit further, doesn't he, in chapter 1, verse 2. He says, consider it all joy. That sounds wonderful. When you face trials of many kinds. That's it. In the midst of trials, we have joy. That's a challenge to me and to you, because those times when you're not feeling at your best, you've got to realize even then, you have that blessing of God. You have, as a member of the kingdom of God, joy. That which was in you. You remember, dear old Paul and Silas, I've fortunately never been to prison. Well, I have been to prison, but not as a prisoner. They're not very nice places, and the ones in Poland weren't as nice, I think, probably in this country. But anyway, they were pretty horrible places, and in those days when Paul and Silas were travelling around, they were not at all pleasant. They sat in this cold place, which probably was damp. It was probably in stone. Didn't make it more comfortable. They were chained, and their backs were raw, having been beaten. And they sat there all through the night, and they moaned and they groaned. No, they did not. They rejoiced and sang praises. They sang praises in the midst of that time. Why? Because they had joy. They had the Holy Spirit giving them joy. Oh, we can look at it and say, well, that was them, of course. I mean, you expect apostles to be like that. And we might expect the reverends around here to be like that, because they're sort of special people. Perhaps they can. But no, that applies to all of us. Even if you're in a situation like that, you still have in the Lord Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, this wonderful fruit of joy. I was told, for while we were praying, I was instructed that I was to be joyful. That gives me a license. Isn't God good? He is. He really is good. And he gives us that fruit. He gives us that blessing of the Holy Spirit in the most difficult of times. Not just in the happy, easy times. Yes, he does then. But all the time, that gift is available to us. So we can rejoice. Well, now, here we get really excited. Hold your seat. Joy and hope. Jesus said, Luke chapter 10, verse 20, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. When we come here and we sing some of these songs, and they declare the wonder of the fact, one or two that touch me when we sing about we're going to see Jesus face to face. Wow. No wonder we rejoice. What a hope we have, and it's a hope that is seasoned with joy that we experience in part now. What we hope for in the glory to come, we already start taking a taste of it now, so we enjoy that joy now too. Yes, we rejoice now because God is so good and he has promised. Isn't it wonderful? I'm going to see Jesus face to face. And this afternoon we're thinking about the fact that it speaks about dancing. Now, anyone, you know, is not really ready for that. It's on the cards for us in heaven. Yes, I will. A great international speaker one time was talking to a crowd of fairly staid people, and he asked us all to stand up, and I'll show you what he did. He said, will you all please stand? You haven't got to do it, don't worry. And he said, will you all take a step to your left? And we all thought, yeah, left. We did this. He said, now to your right. He said, now you started dancing. It just shows how reluctant we are to rejoice, isn't it, really? Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Are you beginning to get the excitement of this? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? What's promised for us in glory is tremendous. And you can start tasting it now. We can know that joy now. We haven't got to wait for that. We can have some of it now. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that the suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Can you see the wonderful connection there between God's grace and the hope that is ours and the joy that is ours? That is part of the fruit of the Spirit, that very wonderful experience of joy, deep, deep satisfaction, deep peace. And the word peace and love and joy all go together, don't they? But it's a wonderful, settled feeling. Times it bursts out into everything. I suppose some of us feel that's all right for some people. It is a blessing for each of us. The Holy Spirit doesn't sort of look round and say, well, I'll give you joy and perhaps you, but no, not you over here. No, he doesn't. The Holy Spirit looks upon us and says, receive my fruit. Receive joy, rejoice. We are actually, of course, commanded to rejoice. Paul many times says that, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. And so we say, most of us would say, well, yeah, I like that. I would like joy. I would like that gift. Where does it come from? How do I have it? We all know the answer. We just read it. Galatians 5 tells us it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. For you and me to experience the joy that is God's gift to us, we need to open ourselves to the ministry of the Spirit. We're trusting our intelligence or our way of doing, our strength, our abilities, then we will have happiness now and again. But as we trust in the Lord and allow the Spirit to minister to us, so we receive the fruit of the one who's ministering to us. We receive the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus also, we read this earlier on, I've told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And again in chapter 16 of John, he says, ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Jesus desires that we have joy. And if at this time circumstances are so pressing upon you as to seem to rob you of that joy, come back to the Lord Jesus. Come back to him and just ask again. You know, he's so gracious, he won't tell you off. He won't say you've been a naughty boy or girl because you haven't got joy at the moment. He will give you the gift in the Holy Spirit of joy as you ask him. Those two references, first one from John 15, speak out love and obedience. As we love the Lord Jesus and obey him, so we will find his joy is complete in us. Don't think anybody heard that. His joy complete in us. Not your joy. Yes, he says your joy will be complete, but he also says my joy. The joy of the Lord Jesus in us as we love and obey him. That's right. And so we say quite clearly at the end, we are able to have this joy in this life, in spite of suffering, because the hope we have in Jesus. Can I say that again? I believe it's the sort of summing up of these points. We are able to have this joy in this life, in spite of suffering, because of our hope in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Of your dear Spirit, we pray for each other that we